11 through 14, as we come to the end of this chapter. Concerning him, that's Jesus, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Time to move forward. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Part of that allowing us to be here in the USA. And we do remember, as we did this morning, the 4th of July and what that stands for. But more than anything, we're here to worship you and to learn from you and to understand again the gospel and the gospel and what that stands for and how it is to be applied within our lives, what it is to be born again, and as born again, what it is to understand the calling that you have upon us. So, Lord God, open up your word to us tonight. Father, thank you that that's what matters, what you have to say to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi. It's remarkable what happens when you go to prayer. No, I'm serious. Not just in a physical way, but also in the spiritual realm. I'm not sure what's happening here, but in any case, we grow up quickly. We grow up quickly if we are healthy, and we grow up on God's timetable for each unique individual. It's too easy to compare ourselves with others, whether physically, whether mentally in our schooling, whether spiritually in our growth. And again, if there's life within us, if we are saved, if we're born again, there has to be growth. We grow up quickly if we are healthy and on schedule. It was one of Diana and I, one of our girls. I can remember, I'm a big girl. That was a response years ago. And we smiled and we recognized, yes, but you're not as big as you think you are. You're definitely not ready to leave home yet. But I'm a big girl. From her perspective, she was not a baby. She saw herself as big, especially as you grow, if there are benefits in being big. Benefits like staying up a little bit later, not having to go to bed, being able to go out to this place or that place. Again, it all depends. In the spiritual realm, I'm a big girl or a big boy. How big are you? How mature are you? With reference to, and this is assuming that you've been born again. This is assuming that there's life within you. How big are you really? God challenges us to take inventory, an honest inspection on where we are at. It's too easy, the warning comes in Romans 12:3, not to think too highly of ourselves. One of the dangers of becoming a deacon, of becoming an elder, becoming a leader in the church, when you're not qualified, is you carry that, and that causes problems. Again, how big am I? Is there life? That's where we need to start. Am I truly born again? Is there life? Is there growth? Is there change within me? Am I seeing it? Do others see it? Do I want to grow? Do I want to move forward because I love Jesus? Because he shares with me that if I love him, I will want to be all that he has me to be, because he has work for me to do, and He holds me accountable. Your parents probably hold you accountable for different things. They should. Your boss holds you accountable, I trust. He should. God especially holds us accountable to be all that he's called us to be. And I remind you, he equips you with everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. And in his time. Remember where we are here in Hebrews. Our Jewish believers, or almost believers, at least looking and maybe even acting the part, are tempted to throw in the towel, to quit, to run away. This is too tough. Back to Judaism. Let's go back. One reason the temptation to go back is so strong is they are not pushing forward to maturity. Verse 12. They are not doing that. Consequently, the temptations are stronger. Also, they are weaker in themselves. Remember the inclined plane I speak about in the Christian life? You're born again. Now you're to grow to full maturity. Inclined plane. If you're not moving up, you're normally sliding back. And that's what we find here in Hebrews. Change and progress is the key. We've got some newborns here. We've got some within the womb here in our church. When they come forth, they're craving. They need milk. You would not do them any favors by withholding milk and giving them a nice piece of steak. It wouldn't tempt them at all that I know of. No, milk starts out, but then we are to move on. Tonight, three signs that reveal a moving forward in growth. But before we get there, I was reminded on the TV news last night about Baltimore and Chicago. I was reminded by something I found in Our Daily Bread. It was an article from a newspaper which says, quote, "Pass all who attend." It quoted a high school superintendent who stated, even though many seniors, we're talking high school here, not elementary school, even though many students, seniors, can't read, they should be allowed to graduate. He suggested that a diploma should represent attendance rather than academic achievement. And so you have, what is it, 13 high schools in Baltimore where not one student is mathematically or in their reading skills proficient at grade level. And then I heard a new statistic. I only have half of it because only half was given. I can't remember which half it was. But 52 high schools in Chicago. Zero proficient in either the reading or the math. I'm not sure if it was stated. I didn't catch it. Crazy. Crazy. In America, the land of much wealth and education, we pay more per student in America than any other nation in the world, as far as I know. And yet not proficient. Again, we are all different. Ability to read varies with each one. But when we've got the schooling and the money behind it, quote unquote, not one proficient. Something is desperately wrong. This week, in a business encounter, I was speaking to a young lady in her mid-30s. She had grown up Roman Catholic all her life, meant nothing to her. About 5 years ago, I want to say a brother-in-law and family invited her and her husband, I believe, to attend one of the mega churches in Lancaster County. She went there for a few years, if I recall correctly, but that was too large, the mega church. So she wound up going to just a mega church, way bigger than us. And as a matter of fact, she's been there, I guess, for a few years now, but she is now one of the leaders in the Sunday school. They don't call it Sunday school. That would be too traditional, I guess. But in the movement of working with little kids. And as she trains others and works with others who directly oversee the classes, I don't know how many classes they have of these little ones, and so forth, that is her job. And then she goes to, they don't call it the worship, I forget exactly what they call the larger gathering. They have several of them on Sunday and throughout the week. As we were talking, I asked her, "When were you born again?" She looked blank at me. Had no idea what I was talking. I couldn't believe it. This is an evangelical mega church in Lancaster County. Again, just a sweet conversation. She had no idea. I had the chance to share the gospel with her. Again, it's a business call I'm on here, so I couldn't take too much of her time. Left her some literature. She was very thankful. But again, it just blew me away. What's going on? Okay, you can be saved, I guess, without knowing the terms born again. But come on, John 3:16 and the whole chapter of John, I want to say elementary instruction for someone who knows Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Nicodemus, no one gets to the Father except through me. And you must. And we have no idea. That's what I alluded to this morning in the sermon that I would share tonight. Again, God help us. What's going on? Where are we at? Are we moving forward in our relationship? So what do we have to do here to move forward? First of all, there is aggressive hearing, a hunger for hearing. And we have a problem here as we look at our text. We have a problem. Look at verse 11. Concerning him, this is Jesus. Remember, we have much to say about him, and specifically with reference to him being a far superior high priest. And it is hard to explain to you guys, since you have become dull of hearing. Again, the order of who is that guy? Where did he come from? Where did he go? Did it continue? The order of Melchizedek. And we look back at Genesis 14 last week and so forth. We're not going there tonight. But again, I've got much more I want to tell you. But you're not ready to hear it. You're not ready to hear it. Communication, I think we all know, this is elementary, involves three components. Someone is speaking. I may have problems communicating. I may not know what I'm talking about. I may not speak in a way that you can understand me. Problems there. We've got the subject matter. It could be difficult to understand, to comprehend, to get a hold of, not only for me, but for yous. Okay, we've got that. But then we've also got the yous, the hearers. Three components. In sharing that, your presence alertness as one speaks is encouraging to the speaker. That's not just a preacher who's got pride. I told you this morning, some of you weren't here, and welcome back. I told you, I hate to preach because I'm scared and I'm nervous. And it's me. But I also said then I love to preach because it's about my Jesus. And I have to. But again, your presence. You Sunday school teachers, I'm sure after studying all week and ready to teach, and none of the kids are there. Makes you feel wonderful. But, and again, and I keep reminding myself, God, you are sovereign, you know. You know. But once again, any of us, when you've prepared something to share, you want those you've prepared it for to be there. And welcome back from a vacation weekend and a family reunion, and we'll be gone for 3 weeks. You won't see us here. You won't hear me for 3 weeks. You can't get a hold of me, but you can get a hold of my wife because of her cell phone that the kids insisted we have. And I say that with a joke or a smile. But what I'm saying is there are times we all are gone. And some are sick. I've heard there's the cornerstone sickness or something. He's got that or she's got that or whatever. And wherever you go, there's going to be something. There are germs, so it's not that. All I'm saying is, you can't always be here. But we try to be where we can hear. We have a problem. We have a problem. They were dull of hearing. Again, you have become dull implies they weren't always dull of hearing. The word dull, it means to be sluggish. To be sluggish. To be lazy. There's no push. There's no drive. It's the same word found in chapter 6, verse 12, when we get to it. Slothful or lazy is the equivalent in the Greek Septuagint translation in the book of Proverbs. Once again, there's no oomph on your part. There's no hunger on your part. There's no desire on your part or my part when I'm listening. As I was trying to listen to Tim here tonight, as he was sharing, attentive, aggressive hearing and listening. F.F. Bruce puts it this way, the intellect will not accept what the heart rejects to. If the heart rejects him, no, you're speaking to me and I don't want to hear it, or whatever. When is this going to be over? You hear me. Then the intellect is not working. It takes work to listen. I'm a listener most of the time. A listener. My mind right now, even when I said that, starts running through. You know what it's like. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do tonight? How's your stomach? What are you going to eat later? Get out of my mind right now. It takes work to listen. I was talking to one, I don't think they're here tonight, outside. And I was sharing again, one thing in preaching, I don't want ever be bored. Boring. Bored is the part of the one who is listening, perhaps. But the one who is speaking, how can you be boring when you talk about Jesus and who he is and what he has done and what he is doing and what he wants us to do, etc. So the intellect will not accept what the heart rejects to. Pray for and encourage a healthy, hearty appetite. That's solid food for the mature. We'll get to that in verse 14 later on. But tell me the story of Jesus, the songwriter has put it, the poet, and put to music becomes a song. Tell me the story of Jesus and write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. I like to hear sweet stories. I like to hear good stories. I like to hear about Jesus. And Jesus himself said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. They get something not only for here, but for here as well. We have a need. There's a problem when we become dull of hearing and not hungry to hear. You'll never grow without an appetite for the Word of God. Second, there is productive action or activity. There is movement. He was, I don't know if he still is, but a heart specialist. His name was Dr. George Sheehan. Dr. George Sheehan. And he shared this about being a spectator rather than a participant, mainly talking about sports. But he shared this. When you become a sports spectator rather than a participant, the wrong things go up and the wrong things come down. For example, body weight, spectator. Body weight, blood pressure, heart rate, cholesterol, triglycerides go up. Vital capacity, oxygen consumption, flexibility, stamina, strength go down. Spectator rather than. In the spiritual realm, what goes up by being a spectator? Criticism, discouragement, disillusionment, boredom. Sensitivity to sin, human need, divine resources, and the Word of God go down. Again, we are to be actively listening, but also actively moving forward in our walk with Jesus Christ and our calling, productivity. Active. Infants. Do you hear a baby? Look, do you know why the baby's crying right now? You don't. It has a need, apparently. I always used to assume we're either hungry or we're wet. Either way, do what you have to, please. Babies, I didn't hear that. Maybe that was good. But anyway, babies have needs. There's not much our little one can do. There's not much except smile, and as they start to squeeze your fingers and become so lovable, they is lovable. They is lovable. And so moms and dads get up at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, again 6 in the morning, whatever. Whatever. You expect that from a little one, and that illustration of what I'm saying was not asked for or planned, by the way. That just happened in God's timing with the little one. But no, they need to be clothed, washed, fed, changed. You do for the little one. You do for the infant. They don't do, they receive as we do. Again, that is to change as little ones grow. We are to allow them to do and give them to do and train them to do as they grow. Parents, by doing everything for them, you're not helping them. We've got a world today who is looking for Uncle Sam or whoever's uncle they want to take care of me. Take care of me. I hear it over and over again. People don't want to work. The work ethic seems to be gone. before I do anything about accepting the job, how much are you going to pay me? How much vacation time do I get? What other benefits do you have for me? Is often what's right up front. Work ethic is missing. No, helping with chores and learning responsibility is doing the job as a good parent, allowing them in turn, as they mature, to take on further responsibilities and further work. Isn't that great? That's the reward of work, is you get more work. But remember, work is good. Men in Men's Fellowship book were put in the garden to work. Sin came into this world and makes work ugly. But it isn't heaven to be not working, as far too many believe. Infants are on the receiving end. And it's the same way in the church. It's not a new problem. In 1983, I was at the Eastern District Association, EDA's, annual conference. David Larson was quite the preacher. He was a pastor back along. I'm not sure what happened to David Larson. This is back in 1983. He probably then was 50 to 60 years of age when he met with us. And he shared this at the conference. We thank God for the decisions in the district, in our churches, pastors meeting together with other representatives, leaders of the churches. Thank God for decisions, but we need disciples. Many babies in our churches, they must be moved by others. What I'm saying is it's nothing new. It's nothing new as you look here. There needs to be growth, healthy growth as we mature. You don't expect from a 2-year-old what a 5-year-old you can expect from. You don't expect from a 5-year-old what a teen. From a teen what an adult, and you can go on and on. And again, we all mature at different levels. We grow up at different levels. But you expect growth if it is health. Physically, but spiritually is what God is telling us here. We need to understand the growth that is there. Notice verse 12. By this time, you ought to be teachers. We'll come to that. That doesn't mean that you need to be a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't mean that you should be a deacon or an elder or a pastor or a missionary. It doesn't mean that at all. We'll come to that in a moment if I remember. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles, the ABCs. The 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, unless you're doing math, and it equals 3 if I gave you right the 3 ones. Elementary principles of the oracles, the words, the commandments, the principles, the teachings of God, of Christianity. There's a problem here. It's the same way in the church. There needs to be growth. I picked up this book. How many have read Stop Dating the Church? Can I see some hands here? Quite a number of you, yeah. I wasn't sure if I should use it tonight. Because of the author, Josh Harris, I didn't realize the Wengers would be back, but there Megan went to school with Josh Harris's younger twin brothers, I believe. Yeah. He starts out here, and he shares about his dad. My dad was a pastor until I was 7. He even planted a church in Texas. But after 2 disillusioning church splits, really? That happened in Texas and still happened? Wow. He left the pastorate. I don't know, Dad. He became a famous homeschooling advocate, spokesman, guru, and so forth. Did God call him out of the ministry? I don't know. I'm not his judge. But it was interesting. And Josh goes on to write, most churches he saw as out of date and out of touch. But he says here, a friend sent me a set of sermons on a tape called Passion for the Church. When I read that, I just wanted to look at this again. I'm probably going to go through it and skim because I highlight and then I don't have to read the whole thing. But a passion for the church, I believe that's missing. I've shared often that, and I believe it's very true, ecclesiology is missing in our theology as Christians. Ecclesiology, the ecclesia, the understanding of what is the church? How does that fit in? Again, you've heard it over and over again. But it's our independence as Christians. It's Jesus and me. I don't need any of you guys. Jesus and me. Jesus and me. Jesus and me. But a passion for the church. And that has struck with me for years. Remember my simple logic? I love Jesus. Who does Jesus love? Who do you husbands love? It better be your wives. Jesus loves his bride. And if I love Jesus and he loves his bride, I want to love his bride too. And so I love his bride, the church. Jody, you haven't heard this. You heard that, but not this, what I'm going to say. That's why I became a pastor. Thursday night visitation, VBS follow-up. The Spenders, they're not home. They're on vacation. We met the grandparents. Bob Spender is the grandpa. Bob Spender, remember my degree in college? Chemical engineering. I'm not an engineer. I don't know that stuff, but that was the stepladder to get into the business world, and it would have worked. He was a math and chemistry major in college.
BBS kids, so tell them that.
I didn't say BBS kids?
Oh,
the rest of you know that now, VBS kids. Well, I thought VBS visitation. In any case, thank you. In any case, he also felt a burden for 1 year of Bible. And so he went to a seminary called Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He was there the exact same time I was there. We had the same professors, the same story. I chose MDiv, Master Divinity. He chose a Master of Arts in Old Testament and became an Old Testament prof at Barrington Bible College in Rhode Island, which no longer exists. It merged with Gordon Conwell back along. And then from there, he went to the King's College in Briarcliff Manor, New York. I've been there many times. That school went to Manhattan, and I believe it may be closed now. I'm not sure. And then from there, he wound up at Lancaster Bible College. That's what brought the Spenders into this area. But again, a passion for the church and an understanding ecclesiology. Josh Harris. I almost didn't want to use it because Josh Harris, and when I look at this, it becomes, as it does with music, Ray Bolts. Some of you know Ray Bolts, the Christian singer who became homosexual or declared that he was homosexual and left the church and turned it down. Whenever I hear one of his songs, which I still listen to, it's a reminder of me, pray for his soul, that he would remember where he was. Pray for his soul and remember where he was, as he too has gone out of the ministry, as much as I know. But that passion for the church and an understanding of what it is and what God has saved us to be and where we are to be productive, because productivity is expected by God for each one of us. Again, look at the verse. By this time you ought to be. You ain't. Why? Because you're dull of hearing, along with a couple of other things we may touch on. But yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Imagine that. It's in another part in the Bible. Seems to be a problem back then. I, brethren, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly, etc. Again, it's expected that there's going to be growth. It's expected that we become productive in the body of Christ. The teachers, the more I read on that, again, it's not saying that every one of you is going to be a Sunday school teacher, for if we're all teachers, it sort of sounds like if the body, if we were all eyes, then where would the hearing come from, or et cetera, et cetera. If we were all teachers, where would the students be? We wouldn't have any. Everyone's teaching his own class. Maybe that's what we're doing in Christianity today. Everyone teaching himself where he is at and what he doesn't want to hear from someone else. Again, what it means is that you should be able to teach someone. You should have a burden for someone. Dad, mom, kids. In your own family. Was it one of the Wesley ladies there who wanted to go? Was it she or was someone? No, it was someone talking to a lady who was burdened to go to the mission field and felt badly because she couldn't do it. How many kids do you have? I don't know. Was it 10 or 12 or 13? You've already got a mission field, is what that one was told. We're all to be teaching someone, and we're all to be learning from someone, because every one of us needs to be growing and moving forward. That's what the text is saying here. I look at you here, is what the author of Hebrews by the Holy Spirit is saying. And there's disappointment in, rightly so. because productivity is expected. There was a college student who was struggling, basically failing a course, didn't know what to do. Went to the prof. What should I do? What should I do? I'm studying hard. God knows. I feel I'm doing my best. God knows. But I just can't retain what I read or try to memorize. Do you think I should hire a tutor? Prof said, no. You need to get yourself a student. Huh? Any of you who have taught or given a Bible lesson know if you've prepared to teach someone else, you normally, although some of your students may know more than you do or than I do even when I'm preaching here, but you always get more than what you're able to get across to the other people. Get yourself a student. Get yourself a student. Who are you sharing with what you're hearing in the sermons? Who are you sharing with what you're reading in your Bible? Who are you sharing with in your growth in Christianity? John David from Sunday School keeps encouraging us to be talking outside the class, asking questions. Again, time to move forward. Hebrews, that's the gist of where we're at here in our text. Productivity is expected. Finally, there is experience with the Word. Again, aggressively hearing and moving forward. Productive because you're active in your local body and outside of it. And then you're growing in the Word. You're experienced in the Word. It is the Word of righteousness. For everyone who partakes only of milk, verse 13, is not accustomed to the Word of righteousness. That's a phrase that Polycarp in the second century used. I'll come back to that maybe at the end. But keep that in mind, the Word of righteousness. We have none of our own, we know that. We were there again in Ephesians this morning. No righteousness from us. It's imputed to us, it's given to us. It's totally God's righteousness that he gives to us so that we can have standing before God. We receive his not by works, but by his grace as we trust in what he has done. That's the sermon this morning. Our lives are then to increasingly show forth this gift with an enablement of how you got righteousness, what it is to be righteous, what you're to be doing with your righteousness, and again, you're to be growing in that, in the Word of righteousness, so that, again, you can express it to others, you can teach others, you can tell others. What must I do to be, born again? It is the Word of righteousness, and it takes practice. Since the babe is not used to living like this, it takes practice. It doesn't come naturally. Verse 14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained. If you're going to be good in anything, you need to practice. You don't automatically become a good hitter of a baseball. You don't automatically just sit down here unless you're extremely gifted by God and play an offertory solo. You practice. You practice. And that was my problem with my piano playing. I'd rather practice the basketball and the baseball and the rest of it than to practice sitting down there playing this. But I had 3 years of piano lessons, and I did not stay with it, which is obvious if you've ever heard me. No, practice. Practice sharing the gospel. Practice talking about the theology from the gospel and so forth. It takes practice. It takes obedience. To live by the Word, to exercise using it, to use it as I think through my life and decisions I make in my life. Yes, decisions like dating or courting, whatever word you want to use, decisions like what job should I be in. It takes practice through the Word. God, what would you... Well, that is important, isn't it? What would you have me to be and where to do? As I talked again to our fellow Trinity alumnus there, again, as we wrestled through what would God have us do, because he wasn't headed and I wasn't headed, but God headed us. But there needs to be, again, a desire. God, whatever you want and wherever you want. Those need to be the keys if you want to please God and have all the joy of the chorus. If you want joy, joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. It's Jesus who helps us to do then whatever we have to do. Train takes practice and practice and practice, which trains the senses. You get a taste for it. And no, I don't think I will ever get a taste for coffee. I have tried it a few times. Not for me. But there are other things. Broccoli, I don't remember ever growing up with broccoli in my home. I don't remember that. It could have been there. In any case, I've learned to love broccoli. Especially when it's warm and melted butter on it. Diana didn't hear that. But yeah. And then in with my mashed potatoes. I've learned to love broccoli. Again, we learn and acquire tastes that don't come naturally. And that's what he's talking about here. Again, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant, but solid food is for the mature, the one who's growing. Remember, mature is a growing to be where God wants us to be, and ultimately we're fully matured when we are glorified, not before then, but mature for where I'm at and how long I've been a Christian and how long I've been allowing myself to grow. For solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Which will bring increasing discernment. Al Mohler, page 183 in his commentary. The contrast between mature and immature believers. The immature are too weak and have not had enough practice. Discernment is critical. Discernment is like a theological grid or a worldview that helps us make instant moral and theological judgments about our circumstances. Discernment is a higher order of thinking and can only be acquired through diligent training and experience. Doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come overnight. As I learn the word, as I learn to have a worldview that thinks through the grid of God's word, what would Jesus do? Yeah, that's a good question. As we learn to examine everything, a job offer. This one's got all the money. But this one's where God would have me because there's a need for a witness there. This one has my natural abilities. But God wants me here, and he has said he'll give me the ability to do what I need to do. Again, there's no easy answers. That's why it's a growing process from right on little, right on up. As I learn about life, when I have a heart that wants Jesus, then what would you have me do? And where would you have me go? Yes, at this point, our Hebrews had not the maturity to reject false ideas. That's why we've been going through. Jesus is superior to the angels. Jesus is a better priest than Aaron. A different order and the whole bit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Christianity, why do you want to go back? Let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me take you upside down in the thoughts and what you've always thought, because this was who I was. But I am not to be what I was. I'm a new creation in Christ, and he wants to continue to grow me and challenge me. To make me think through why I do this and why I demand that and so forth. No, it's a growing. Yes, the use of my time, my money, family needs, where family fits in. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to mature. Help us to understand. It's time. It's time to move on. Polycarp in the second century was soon to undergo martyrdom. And he made this statement. Jesus endured everything. Therefore, let us become imitators of his patient endurance and glorify him whatever we suffer for the sake of his name. Whatever we suffer. Again, I don't want to be bad-mouthing or whatever, but it may come sooner than we realize that we will suffer incarceration, loss of our job, whatever, for standing up for Jesus Christ. The world is changing so very rapidly. Who could have thunk it? But therefore, let us become imitators of his patient endurance and glorify him whenever we suffer for the sake of his name. I therefore exhort you to obey the word of righteousness. Now that's maturity. That's why he's known as one of the famous martyrs who gave his life, Polycarp in the second century. I close with one more statement from Thomas Schreiner in his commentary. Spiritual maturity doesn't depend on intellectual ability. The readers were spiritual infants because they weren't putting into practice what they had learned. There is no idea here that we can be confident of the self. Listen carefully. There's no idea here that we can be confident of the salvation of those who remain spiritual infants for years and years. The readers, because of their infancy, are slipping toward apostasy. They will either go forward or fall away and be destroyed forever. I think it's serious business. My discernment tells me that. And I trust you as well. It's time to move forward. Amen.